I really want you to know it's not about being liked. It's about being seen. And I can promise you this, if you spend time building great connections, working on building a great USP, a unique selling point within your brand, and being human first before an agent, I promise you'll create better connections. I promise you, you will start to win appraisals online and you will resonate a brand that people actually want to connect with.
You're listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for Real Estate Industry Sales Professionals, Property Managers and Leaders. With thanks to our partner, Connect Now, Elevate brings you the best tools, thinking and strategies to elevate your results. To download your written action guide from this podcast containing extra tips, links and shortcuts, visit EliteAgentElevate.com. And for more information about how Connect Now can make moving easier on your clients, visit connectnow.com.au. Here is your host, Samantha McLean.
Welcome to another episode of the Elevate podcast, where we delve into some of the most interesting minds in business and in real estate for the very best tips and strategies for you to implement to elevate your business. I'm Samantha McLean, editor of Elite Agent and host of today's show. Today, I'm joined by Imogen Callister, aka the Media Coach. After a career that has spanned journalism, real estate operations, and a position as branding and marketing specialist at REA, Imogen now works with businesses and individuals to help build their brand online. Immy, can I call you Immy?
You can call me whatever you like, but mostly I get called Immy.
Immy, welcome to the show.
Sam, thank you so much for having me. It's an honour, obviously, to be here on your incredible podcast.
Well, it's awesome for you to be here. And the Media Coach is a relatively new venture for you.
Yeah.
Which you started in January this year. So tell us a bit about it.
So look, I guess my passion really stems by two ways. One, my love of real estate, but predominantly my background's journalism, media and marketing. And it's really blending those two worlds together. And being an agent is a unique job, Sam. Every day they have to apply for a new job. Like imagine that world, it's not easy. And you've constantly got to be out there prospecting for new clients. And it's my job to help my clients build a personal brand that people want to connect with, and also build world-class campaigns in their social media marketing and digital online presence to really help them connect with more sellers out there in their marketplace. And it's hard to believe, but a lot of people, we pick up the phone 100 times a day and we make all these calls, but you forget like our mobile's right in our hand. And everybody fact checks everything now. In fact, 78% of all sellers will look you up before making a decision on you as an agent. So the Media Coach was kind of founded on my true passion of helping agents. And look, while this year, like many people, it's been a challenge with COVID, I've just had just the best journey. And I'm so lucky I get to wake up every day and live my passion and my dream and help agents. And I'm work with some of the top performers in the country now. So I just feel like it's an absolute honour to really work in that position.
I mean, you've done an amazing job so far. And like really, COVID has proven agents need to start acting like media companies themselves anyway. So it's great that they've got someone like you to help them along. And I think COVID has really sort of taught agents a bit of a lesson in terms of, if you don't take back the narrative, then the only thing that people are going to hear out there is the mainstream media, which is not obviously always the right lesson.
And the thing is I think the hardest part for agents is the first question is they say, I don't know what to post, because everyone cares about what other people think, and that's human nature. So they're like, oh, I'm too worried about posting. I don't know what to post. And I don't know what to say in my post that builds brand attraction or makes people, you know, the whole world of social media like a photo. I mean, even though that's not really relevant now, likes are gone on social media. We're like, in Australia, we're actually the only place in the world currently with no likes on Facebook and Instagram. Like, if you go into the States, while that movement's coming through. So for an agent, it's really breaking down those barriers of understanding that you need to master a paid, earned and own media strategy into their brand. So an own media strategy is how their channels look. You've got Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Google Business, what I call like their passive and active brand. So their passive brand is like their Google, what they look on Google, what serves into that brand, and making sure that's world-class when people are typing their names in. And then they've got their active brand for their own channels. So that Instagram, you know, everyone wants to be Insta famous. In fact, Immy Callister, follow for follow, like for like, just in case anyone's out there.
We'll leave links in the show notes. Yeah.
But, you know, that whole own media channel, like there's that content pressure now. So there's that. Then for an agent, you really need to look at how do you create raving fans in your marketplace? Like, it's been around for years, this idea that other people generate leads into your business, but it's gone blown up into the online world now, okay? And how it's blown up is all these online reviews and all these online review platforms, and it's breaking down that disruption for them so they know where to build reviews in their brand that gets the most kind of likes and sees. And the last thing, I guess, formulating strategy for agents now is, you know, a lot of people, Sam, they say to me, oh, you know, I've tried social media before. And I say, okay, what have you done? Oh, I put up a video. Okay. And did you do that once? Yep. Yep. And I was like, that didn't do anything for
didn't
you.
Work.
No. Oh, sad. And it's kind of like, you need to understand that 97% of all revenue on Facebook is made by digital advertising. There's two industries in this world that call their clients users. It's the drug industry and it's the digital industry, okay? Yeah.
And both is addictive. Yeah.
Very true. And a lot of people think that because we can just access those platforms for free and we are the product, that it's a free space. But for an agent right now, they need to understand a world-class paid strategy is what leverages leads into their brand. You know, I don't know one digital platform that exists that really allows for that to kind of, without you kind of getting that lead generation. You don't load something onto the property portals, or you don't, everything comes at a cost. So we get, my team and I should say, get around 81 appraisals a month for our clients, and sometimes even more depending on what time of year it is. And everyone says to me all the time, oh, how do you do that? And it's like, well, I use a world-class paid strategy in Facebook. So really owned, earned and paid media is really the key for agents right now in understanding the social space. And it's something that at The Media Coach, I'm constantly looking at evolving the business so that we can constantly stay up to date.
And with social, there are never-ending questions from agents that come in here, like in things like Transform and stuff like that. Like, if you're an agent right now, what's the most important place to be, do you think?
So this is a really interesting one, right? Everyone says to me, like, what platform should I be on? Instagram? What about TikTok? What about all those things? And I always say to them, your brand works in combination, not isolation. So let me give you this example. There is 11 million users on LinkedIn in Australia. There is 11 million users, but only 5.5 log into those LinkedIn profiles every month.
That's because LinkedIn is a scary place. IMHO, I hate LinkedIn.
And so do many agents, right?
Yeah.
But here's the problem, right? Most of them, they don't log into these profiles. And what happens is their brand looks out of date and irrelevant.
Yeah.
So while I would recommend every single body engage with LinkedIn and use LinkedIn, and I personally love LinkedIn and I think it's got world-class organic reach, like you get more reach on there than anywhere else, right? And I think we've even seen that a little bit with stuff with your branding. But, you know, if you look at LinkedIn as just a place where you sign up and check out and don't use it, it actually becomes damaging for your brand, okay? Because what happens is LinkedIn is owned by Microsoft, which is one of the biggest digital players. It's not the banks that own the world now. It's Facebook, it's Amazon, it's these huge digital players, it's Microsoft, and that's owned by Microsoft. So when I type your name into Google, it serves. And then I look onto your profile, you look out of date, irrelevant, not compared to your competitor. So when it comes down to what space should I be in, you've got to work on a strategy that you actually enjoy being in. So the first one is, if you don't like being on LinkedIn, don't be on LinkedIn. You don't have to be there.
Yeah.
But don't have a profile there that's completely out of date and irrelevant. The other thing that I constantly see is agents, like, they'll go and they'll set up two Instagram profiles. Now, this is a cracker. Oh,
like a personal one and a company one, yeah.
And I often get challenged on this by, you know, people out there that say, well, Imi, I want a private life and then I want to portray this life on Instagram, right? And I get it, but people are actually on social media not to be advertised to, okay? They are a user of that platform and they're actually on there to connect with people. So if you look at a platform like Instagram, when you create like an agent-only profile, all you're doing is spamming your audience with these properties and, you know, when actually you're human first and agent second. So there's not one killer space that's going to leverage it. I will say Facebook and Instagram, which obviously own each other, and the messenger platform, that's going to allow you to really adopt and win appraisals through a paid strategy far more than, I guess, TikTok or any of those other players because they're kind of new. But the key outtake that I would give for agents there, Sam, is to say, it's okay if you don't want to be in every space, but just ensure every time a vendor, a seller, a buyer researches you, your brand looks world class. Do a digital health check today. Go and type your name into Instagram. Go and type your name into LinkedIn. Go and type your name into Google. See what serves and get rid of anything that's unfavorable, because every time somebody will research you then, you'll look exceptional and you'll be a brand that people want to connect with.
That's absolutely great advice. So you just talked about two profiles on social media, which is something that I've declared war on a couple of years ago. You know, on Facebook, so-and-so sales agent, and then I'm somebody else. What are some of the other mistakes that you see agents making digitally?
Well, where do we, how long's the list? How long do I have? No. The biggest one is they just think that it's a marketing platform for there. And they just, the idea of subliminal advertising is a lot better on these social mediums. The one of the biggest mistakes I see with property marketing, and this one, I don't know why I personally find it funny, but every time I see it, I do. It's always like, you know, they'll put up a property and they'll put, you know, 12 Smith Street, you know, in a suburb, 12 Smith Street, Coogee, just listed, 3 bath, 2 car, 4 bedrooms, whatever, you know, for everything from that property, strata details, council rates, blah, blah, blah. And then they'll put, if you'd like more information, send me a message. And it's like, why would I send you a message? You've just given me the property link and absolutely all the details. Like, it's about creating that excitement. And I think, you know, Lisa Novak does it very well. And Lisa's a dear friend of mine.
Yeah,
create a little bit of FOMO, you know, fear of missing out or the idea of you getting exclusivity by following you. If you start to give all this information away, nobody's going to send you an inquiry. You know, nobody's going to want to follow you because they could be on the portals if they wanted to do that. So I think that's a really common mistake that they kind of make. I think the second thing is they just really focus on using it as a space where it's just listed, just sell, just listed, just sell, just listed, just sell, just listed, just sell, just sell. And there's no development of a strategy into their brand, right? And they kind of just go, this is a space where I literally show my real estate success. And it's like, no, no, you've got to be the human element into there. And I know some people don't like showing their kids on social media and they don't like that. But you've then got to adopt a way that that does work, because people want to connect. Facebook's mission is to connect people, not to connect property with property. It's to connect people. So instead of just putting up a photo of a house, go and stand in front of the photo with the house. And I can guarantee you, you will get 500 times more engagement and connections than you will just, here's a property that I'm promoting. And I guess the last thing is people will find one platform that they favor because they prefer it. You know, Instagram's a bit more of a sexy world and LinkedIn's a little bit more business-like, and they'll find one platform that they favor and not share content regularly elsewhere. And then I guess that last bit, which we touched on before, Sam, was if you just think that you can upload a photo to social media and Facebook says, you know what I'll do? I'll just generate heaps of leads for you. No, that's not how that works. You know, organic reach, it doesn't matter how much you try, it's going down and down and down and down and down as more users get onto the platform. So it's this idea and concept that they're only looking for vanity metrics. So vanity means the likes, the follows. Let's get honest here. Like, if you've got a following of 1,000 people, you're killing it on social media. Like, how many people really want to follow a real estate agent? And people will follow you and unfollow you because that's part of their property journey, right? But get over the likes and get over the follows and focus on how much your post is reached or seen into your marketplace and the engagement coming back on those posts. Because when you're doing that, you're probably using a world-class paid strategy. And you're also using great content that's being seen in the marketplace. And that's when people are going to start to come up to you and say, hey, I see your content all the time. Or, you know, here's a great example. Chari Emazade, who is one of probably Australia's top listers. In fact, I know he is. You know, he sells more homes than anyone else in Australia. And when I met with him, he sat down and he told me all these successes that he had. And he's an incredible agent. Obviously, he's not a digital marketer. It's why he works with me. And I said, but do we promote these things? You know, so he's transformed from just being a real estate agent on Instagram to Australia's number one property lister, number one in his marketplace, exclusive listings and pre-market launches. And, you know, he's really building that following and that traction. And people want to, you know, we're on the journey for him selling 1,000 homes. And people walk up to him in the street and say, oh, congratulations on selling 955 homes. I mean, that's people in his marketplace seeing that kind of content. So sometimes break away from just being a real estate agent, because when you're that, with love, I love real estate agents. They're my life.
Absolutely.
And I follow a lot of them. And sometimes, like, I have to even say to myself, like, oh, my God, another listed and a sold. That is part of your content strategy, but it's not the whole part.
You know, like, the difference between agents does come down to marketing, like how you market a product. And I remember hearing you tell this story once about water, about bottled water, and it's very the same. So just for the benefit of people that might not have heard that story.
Go for gold. Yeah. So a lot of the times in presentations, I talk about the concept of bottled water. Now, if you go into a supermarket, if I took you downstairs now, Sam, and I said, let's go down to the supermarket and get some bottled water, I would watch you walk into the bottle and I would watch you. The first thing you'd do is you'd start to look at the branding of the bottle, and then you would look at the branding of the bottle, and then you'd probably do the second thing that we all do. We look at the prices, because that's how we vary our information. And I say, if you want to be a great real estate agent, you need to be a world-class bottle of water. Because can I tell you something? Water in Australia tastes exactly the same. It's a colourless, flavourless liquid. I could get 2,000 litres from a tap, right? For whatever Mount Franklin charges, but they put it into a bottle, they wrap it some blue stuff around it and talk about how it's from some spring. And somehow we've become, even though we're one of the most civilized cultures with clean water and so lucky to live in this country, somehow now some Australians are spending thousands of dollars on bottled water every year, you know? But it's the way that you perceive that water. And look, while I'm not a doctor, my husband is, but while I'm definitely not, and I won't be giving out medical advice, for me, I know when I drink water from the tap to water to, and there has been a huge amount of studies in this, nobody can taste the difference. But somehow people elect that that's going to be better for them if they use that bottle of water, or it serves them better. Same as being an agent. Choice is huge in of abundance in this marketplace, okay? You walk in now, and I mean, real estate agent, it's a hard industry. Like I said before, you got to apply for a job every day. But the key to killing it right now is understanding your unique selling point. And that's like being the bottled water, you know?
Yeah.
If you're, you know, do you choose a Fuji water, or do you choose, I don't even know the names. What's that one?
Mount Franklin.
Or the one that's from Italy in the green bottle, you know.
Yeah.
And I sometimes go into these really fancy offices because, you know, in real estate, and they've got these beautiful offices, and they serve me this, a San Ferro, I can't remember its name.
San Pellegrino.
Bruno, that's the one.
Yeah, yeah.
And I always think, oh, what a waste of money. You know, but it's the difference is that's the way that somebody perceives that, and it's the way that you portray yourself. So what is it is your unique selling point as an agent? And if you don't know how to answer that, you have to ask yourself a lot of questions. So the first question is, what is something about me that nobody can imitate, right? What is something about me that nobody can really take over? You know, was it part of your service? How do you reach more buyers? Do you list more? Do you have more reviews in your marketplace? What is that one key thing that makes you stand out? And the second question you have to answer is, what is it in it for the customer for choosing you? Because this is what these bottled water companies have done. They have marketed that really clearly to the customer. If you drink this water, it has health benefits. Doesn't. But, you know,
it has a different font on the label.
They've made us feel that by drinking this water, it's beneficial. And some of those have done through, you know, using marketers or models, or, you know, again, use prominent people in your marketplace to rave about your brand. That can be someone like the local butcher who's known by everyone, all the way up to a celebrity client that you've sold for. So if you want to be killer tip of the day, become bottled water. But the fundamental is learn to market yourself like bottled water, because when you do, you can be the plain Jane of society. But if you find those unique selling points and are able to leverage it, build that into a brand strategy and really market yourself that way, you'll see you'll change the way that customers perceive you. And they won't just be a commission-breathed agent desperate for that your sale. You'll turn into somebody that's really compassionate, caring, and
trusted.
And somebody that people want to work with because they truly believe you're going to get the best price.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about the comfort factor, because you mentioned Lisa Novak before, and a lot of agents look at her and think, why can't I do what she does? And I know, like, we've interviewed her in here, and she just kind of feels the fear and does it anyway. So let's talk about tools like Facebook Live and things like that that agents don't particularly like. What are your strategies for getting past that fear and just getting on with the job?
So the first thing I'm going to share personally, okay, like Sam, you know, we're close friends and like you've heard my journey, but when I lost my job as a journalist, I was totally deflated. I just could not get out of bed. I didn't think I was worthy of doing things. I'd worked for 10 years in that industry and I'd really tried. And I read a quote one day and it really resonated with me. And it was, it's not about being liked, it's about being seen. So the biggest problem that's holding you back is you care too much about the way you look or you care too much about what others think. Now, social media, it perpetuates an environment for that to happen. And it's really hard. Sometimes I was doing a conference live in the United States recently and I got all these photos taken and obviously I'm a very passionate person, so I was talking really loudly and this is now being on camera, me doing those faces. But the shots shown on social media looked like I was insane. Like I actually had it, like I was, there was just terrible shots. And I looked at them and the first thing I thought was, oh, my God, look at me. Oh, my God, that's terrible, you know. And then I went, get over it. It's not about the way you look. It's about you actually going live to the United States and London. You've just built your business internationally and you're caring about the way you look, Imogen. Get over yourself, right? I shared the stories. People started writing me messages. How cool, Imi. That's amazing. Next minute, a lead came from an international agent. Hey, I've heard your seminar. I'd like to see it now. If I held myself back because I cared about the way I am, like it's like with Lisa Novak, and I know Lisa quite well, and her fundamental story around social media was she was actually, there was a vendor who had had terrible trouble and had actually lost a partner and was suffering and couldn't afford the property portal prices because she was that much in debt. And Lisa had to find a circumstance to get this property sold. So she took what was originally something that she was trying to do to help someone, has now turned into this world-class strategy of selling more over 60 properties. She was also laughed at constantly, Sam. People made, you know, I heard people, that's not true. She doesn't sell all those. People used to say it to me and I kind of used to be like, yes, I've seen it. You know, like I've sat in front of her. It is true. What she is saying is true. And people will automatically judge you. Now she's being recognized as an influencer, you know, and I think you've had Leanne Pilkington on the podcast. One of my favorite sayings is, if you don't value the person, don't value their feedback. Same on social media. In regards to live and stuff, I am going to touch on that. Don't go live. The idea of going live, you can see it's kind of faded off a little bit but it was kind of a new feature kind of brought out by these social medias. And most of the time going live, you leave yourself open to mistakes that can happen. And to be honest, you're not a celebrity. Do you know what I mean? So the only thing going live does is it bumps you up straight into the story. But you do have to have a great strategy in place where you get over, take photos of yourself. You know, I say to my clients, a photo a day keeps me away. And they know it does because I will WhatsApp them like, where's my photo? You know, and I think it's important that the fundamental thing is if you focus on the way you look, the way what you think other people perceive of you, you will never build a world-class agent brand. If you get over that, get over the trolls, get over the haters. In fact, if I don't get hate on my agents' profiles, I'm not doing a good job. The other day I said to an agent, I said, I'm going to show you how much your Instagram has gone up and how much engagement has gone on your Instagram. I said, I'm going to make a spelling mistake in your second tile and I want to see how long it takes for someone to write you a message saying you've made a mistake. It took him 2 minutes later. Someone wrote us a message. By the way, there's a spelling mistake in your second tile. And it was someone from the local community. And I just wrote back straight away on their behalf, thank you so much for letting us know. We'll get that straight down and adjusted. And I was able to show them straight away, like people are actually engaged in your content and watching.
Yeah.
But the biggest fear, and I get it myself, like I'm a female, like you want to look good and you want the whole world of social media and that influencer world and the model world and all of that. It's hard not to feel like you've got to look a certain way. And people look at some of these people in these marketplaces, Sam, where it's like their top agents. Let's just use Gavin Rubenstein as an example, right? Absolutely forceful agent. I know that you know him
force
very well.
Force of nature, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But he works in Double Bay.
Yeah.
In one of the most prestigious markets in the eastern suburbs. If you go out to another area like Blacktown, you'll probably be laughed out of the world driving around in your fast Maserati. In fact, I think there's Slider Guy now that takes that out, right? Yeah. And it's probably got nearly as many followers. So get over that, because if you do, I promise you, if you get over the way you look and what people say and focus on being seen rather than liked, you'll accelerate your brand very quickly.
Yeah, so I'm going to summarize that because I think that's a really, really important point. If you're thinking that you have to be on social media to be liked or to get followers, then you're on it for the wrong reasons. You've got to check your intention, and your intention has got to be helping people rather than thinking, how many likes am I going to get from this video?
1,000%. And what you just said there, intention, you know what I mean? Like, what is your intention? What is your desire around social? Is it just to look good and make people think? Like, what is it? Because when you actually figure that out, you can monopolize it and make money out of it.
Yeah. So moving on, you referred a little bit earlier in this episode to word of mouth and to referrals. And I know you sometimes call it like word of mouth and word of mouth. I mean, you know, look, we all know that reviews are really critical to building a brand right now. What do you do if someone gets on your Facebook or your Google and leaves you a real stinker? What do you do?
So the first thing is you realize this, a bad review is not a bad thing. Really, and people always, when I say that, they go, oh, whatever. Well, you know, have you been on the crack pipe, Amy? No, I'm telling you, it's not a bad thing. Sam, last time you went on reviews, okay, you maybe were going to a restaurant, maybe you were going to a place that you wanted to check out. The first thing you probably did is you went onto Google or you went onto the Spaces and you started to look for other people's opinions, yeah? And you got onto those reviews. Now, when you started looking for those reviews, did you look for the good? What did you look for the bad?
Yeah, well, that's it. As humans, I think we're designed to look for the bad, aren't we?
Socially conditioned. We are socially conditioned to want to know our best and our worst experience. And 9 times out of 10, it's not the bad review doing you damage, but the way in which you respond to it. So any agent out there sitting right now, if you've got reviews good and bad, right, the first thing that you need to do is respond to them, okay? Now, if it's a cracker bad review, I used to be in publicity as a journalist. Part of my job is always portraying the way the thing. So the first thing that you can do, you have to do, is drop your ego, okay? There is no space online. Sometimes you'll just be hit with a troll, or sometimes a bad tenant, or somebody's just
having a bad day.
And, you know, you get on there and, like, I'll give you an example. I will not say the person's name, but this agent had gone above and beyond for this client, and he wasn't, you know, I won't use the words, but he really was a piece of work. And the agent got a review, and it said, you know, you drive around in your Maserati destroying financial dreams, right? Now, the agent got so pissed off, without thinking, just wrote back, you beeped. Like, funny. And then went, oh, my God, how do I delete that? Do you know what I mean? Cannot do that. You've got to learn to drop your ego, okay? So the first thing is, you can never respond online in a narcissistic or meaningful kind of way. You've just got to learn to say, ego sits aside.
Take a breath.
Take a breath. The second thing to do is respond rapidly and mediate offline, okay? Here's the cracker where agents go wrong. Hey, just got your online review. You know, I'd really am sorry about the experience. If we were able to resolve the issue, would you be able to remove the view? Don't ever ask them to remove it, because as soon as you've asked them to remove the review, you're actually empowering that person that they've done exactly what they wanted to do, right? So you need to drop your ego, and you need to get on the phone, and you need to mediate it offline. And you need to learn these words. This is really important of me. I do understand that you're upset, and I want to do all that I can to solve the issue, okay? I can see that you're let down. What is it that I can do to help you, you know, to get from point A to point B, you know? And sometimes you're going to be able to do that and they'll remove their review. You don't ask them. They just naturally will review it. If you can't get them to review it, you do need to respond rapidly and reply to the review. You know, this is really important to us. You know, when we initially brought the property to the market, we were expecting prices between da-da-da. No stone was left unturned during the auction process to achieve that result. But, you know, and we did provide comprehensive updates throughout this process. If there's absolutely anything we can do, we're available anytime. Please contact us on the following numbers. Sam, this is also your opportunity to call out a fake review. Because a lot of those will be there too. We've searched our entire BART database. This is so important to us. We cannot find your name associated anywhere in our data. Please could you contact us immediately on this number, as we cannot find you. And it's, you know, we really want to make sure that this problem is solved. Somebody reading that review, and 9 times out of 10, they read it. They read the response and they go, oh, what an idiot, right?
Yeah.
And the last thing I always say is drop your ego, respond rapidly and mediate offline. Get back to the review online. And then the last thing I always say is assess the issue, okay? And it's a hard thing, but I'm always making mistakes. I'm human. So is everybody. You're working with two very difficult parties. And in fact, I'm going to even challenge it and say, if you're doing your job well, you're actually letting one party down. Because if you get a great price for the buyer, you're actually letting your vendor down. If you get, you know, a great price for the vendor, you're actually probably ripping off the buyer. Your job as an agent is to mediate between two very difficult parties. But there is 9 times out of 10 when I've sat down in front of agents and they've got to the bottom of it and I've said, honestly, what happened? Why did this review occur? They say something like, oh, I was late, or oh, I did overpromise and da-da-da-da-da. And that's cool. But how do you stop it happening again? Because the way that I operate in my business, you know, and I think you've even seen me, like the way I'll communicate, like as soon as something, feedback comes straight into my business, I sit straight down, I write it down and I action it as something that needs to happen. Because everyone makes mistakes. I've never met one person that hasn't. But the way in which we respond to it and the way in which we implement systems and operations to ensure that customer never gets let down again, that makes a world-class agent and a great operator.
It isn't a bad thing to get a bad review, so long as you can learn something from it and respond to it in the correct way.
Correct. I think if you look at hotels, you know, there's so many classic examples like Woolworths. I think there was one where somebody wrote on their page being like, there's a caterpillar in my salad, blah, 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 blah.
It's organic.
And that, you know, Woolworths wrote back, oh, thank God you found him. Could you please return our little critter and we will refund you in full and offer you 2 free, blah, 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 blah. Like there's actually, it's an opportunity. And I will say this, like the agents that have actually had bad reviews, and sometimes the first thing they do is they call me because they get really scared and they're like, oh, it's not many me. You know?
Breathe.
Like, first thing is, this is how we're going to mitigate the issue. And it's quite funny. The person that tends to be the bad review writer is also the one that's really sassy in person. And if we change their perception and opinion and we go the extra mile and work on it, they also become the biggest referrers of that agent. Mm. They also become the person that talks about it. And like, this is not a lie. I have had a bad review turned into a good review and turned into 3 leads.
Yeah.
Because that lady goes out into that marketplace and says, oh, yes, and this agent, and unfortunately something happened, but oh, I got a bottle of champagne and, you know, they drove up to my door and basically fed me bread and breakfast. Like, you know, they go and they talk about it because that's what those kind of people do. So just really don't be scared of a bad review. In fact, some reports are coming out now in the media industry that 4.5 is more believable than 5 stars, which I actually think is a real problem in our industry with some of the review platforms right now, is they're just all positive and nobody believes them.
Mm. Actually, that's interesting. There are so many review platforms that agents have got to, can I have a testimony? Can I have a review for Facebook and for Google? And can you give me a video testimonial and one for REA and one for Rate My Agent? And like, how do you manage the million review platforms?
You cry.
Now?
I know.
You just cry, yeah.
Okay, so how I look at that is twofold. The first thing is, you need to have a look at where your customers are looking, okay? And you need to have a look at your own digital footprint, okay? Because if you type your name in, Rate My Agent may come up first, or realestate.com.au might come up first, or you might have your own Google business and that will come up on the side. So the first thing is to have a look at what spaces are serving first, because you want to work with what's naturally serving rather than against it. You know what I mean? You don't need to, any agent that gets hit with SEO or any of those like Just know, just focus on what's work within your brand. So if Rate by Agent's serving first, then that's a platform where you can adopt reviews as your first strategy. Try not to jump in and out of review platforms, which is really hard, but try not to jump in and out and choose two places that you're going to accelerate, okay? And learn to text message reviews. Don't email, okay? If you emailed me a review today, I get hundreds of emails every day. The world of real estate and email is not dead, but we've massively overdone it with, you know, find your property, you know, these irrelevant homes that are not relevant to that person that are sent out every weekend because they're your inspection list. Look at, but it's true, right? I still get them in my inbox.
I've got 100 of them, yeah.
Yeah, welcome to this week's open homes. Great, not one of those properties do I want.
Nor am I looking.
Yeah, and so you've got to make sure that you're looking at, I guess, texting that person and choosing two places with the links with the wording, you know, it's been such a pleasure to help you with your property journey, property sale. I'd be so grateful if you could leave a review on my Rate My Agent profile, my realestate.com.au profile with links right there, or my Rate My Agent and Google profile. You can copy and paste it over. Thank you so much in advance, right? That's in their hand. 9 times out of 10, the other thing is, Sam, they're going to be logged in on their phone. So the best thing that I say to agents is call that person first and try and qualify what they have, right? Or get your assistant to try and do it and say, you know, Mark has been, it's really, I love have helped you all the way through your journey. And a lot of people look at agent reviews before qualifying to use me as an agent. Do you have the realestate.com.au app on your phone? No, I don't. Okay, don't send him that review.
Yeah.
Because it's not on his phone and therefore he'll have to get the review verified and look it up, right? Do you have a Gmail account or do you use Gmail? Yeah, I do. Send him a Gmail review and then maybe Rate My Agent because that's more of a friendly platform to use. But ultimately, you want to choose your places you build your review because people do look at those reviews places and it'll serve better in your SEO.
Yeah, absolutely. That is really good advice. Okay, so 2020 has been a crazy year where we've seen, you know, people consume media more than any other year. I mean, we've certainly noticed it and you've noticed it. What do you think are going to be the trends moving forward into 2021?
The trend takers. I think the biggest thing right now is the first one is adopting a world-class paid strategy into your brand for agents, okay? If you are not using a paid strategy in your social media marketing, and by that I mean setting a monthly budget, I'm going to start with this one because if you don't have a monthly agent marketing budget, right, sit down right now and look at it. The second thing is it's going to be in the moment content's going to win over highly produced content. Okay, so we're going to see a trend of less people artificialness on social media. The whole world of retouching and fake world, I think it's really starting to come undone. I think people are sick of the fantasy world and I think people really want to start to connect with more people and stop living this idolized world, you know, Instagram versus reality. And they want to start to connect with real people and authentic people. And I think having that as a position in your agent brand is going to be massive. And I think the third thing is we're going to see actually not a movement away from social media. I think more than ever people are going to be consuming it more. But the way in which they're consuming it is going to be different. Okay, so this is a bit of a weird one. But I think we're going to really start to opt out of people that annoy us. We're going to start to really, so I think your strategy has to be pivotal to not irritate people.
Yeah.
I know this is a hard one, but like I'm finding the trend of unfollow more than follow. Like when's the last time you followed someone on social media?
Oh, it was you actually. I followed
well,
you.
Well, thank you. Don't unfollow me.
Yeah.
But that's the point, right? Like, it's you don't do it a lot anymore, do you?
Yeah.
So I think the whole trend of followers is going to go and this whole idolization of how many, unless you're a kind of a celebrity, and I think it's really going to focus and have a shift on real, authentic, organic content because people want to see that world now in social and it's all around shifting to conversations. And the last thing I think I'm really going to see, I'm predominantly in the Facebook world, is this idea of interoperability. So Mark Zuckerberg's key fundament right now is the more time you're spending always on Facebook, the more money we're obviously making. But I want to make our platforms operate seamlessly. So you won't really know if you might have seen recently Facebook's changed the way it looks and all it feels. And
awful.
I know, don't you hate it?
I hate change.
Wait till you work in digital and then you're sitting in front of a client and you're like, I just need to, oh my God, it's just changed.
My captions wouldn't work this morning.
But you're probably starting to get the feel that kind of Instagram and Facebook, they look and they feel the same, you know, because the biggest growing market on social media is actually the elderly.
Yeah.
It's people over 50 and 60 because they all want to see their grandchildren on there.
People like me that need a big font.
We can enlarge that. Text me. You're far more savvy than you give yourself credit for.
It's true. Yeah. I mean, look, that's interesting. And what you just said then sort of made me think about my own social media habits a little bit. I think rather than following and unfollowing people, I search more for conversations. Like it's more that I search for what is it that I want to know or what am I looking for rather than necessarily following.
We're kind
someone.
Of using it more like Google now more than ever.
Yes.
And we're kind of looking at things up and you qualify things on there. You qualify your opinion by using these kind of social practices. And that's probably the last thing that I just bears a little word of caution. Be careful on how much you're spending because these platforms are designed to basically integrate shopping carts now. And while I'm a digital marketer and love people spending on those platforms, there's nothing worse than an accidental spend of a $3,000 watch you don't need because you're being remarketed and retargeted that, you know. So just remember when you're online, like watch your own practices and your own presences because that's a real trend we're seeing, you know. I don't know if websites are soon going to be almost dead. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to predict the future, but I definitely think there's always going to be a need for that. But more and more social, people are spending more and more time on social because you just, it's like I work in this, right? And I have to watch my own behavior and sometimes my own, not mental health, but like my husband will get right up me. I'll get home and I'll still be working and I'll be messaging clients at 9 o'clock at night and he'll be like, what's wrong with you? But he's from a different world because he's a doctor. So he doesn't give out his phone number. So he doesn't get that. So you've got to watch yourself as well. While you want to make sure that you have rapid responses in space for your own mental health as an agent, all these platforms, you need to make sure you have your screen time turned off so that at 9 o'clock now, my screen time goes on and I can't actually touch my phone till 7 o'clock in the morning because I was getting out of bed and the first thing I'd do, check my emails, check my thing out. And it wasn't good for my mental health. Now the first thing I do is get out of bed.
Cup of tea.
Give my husband a kiss. Yeah, gross. No, I don't do that. Normally I'm like crawling out of bed. But I go and I sit and I have a coffee and I sit on my front porch and then I take my dog for a walk and I kind of spend some time and I have breakfast and then I start my day. Yeah. And just that mental shift of not, you know.
Because then you start reacting to everything.
And the next minute I'm, you know, more than ever, like COVID, like I have had to shift my team to more virtual spaces because there's no point in like with everything that's happened. And I found myself at 11 o'clock sitting in my pajamas too because I'm so busy with work and I haven't actually even had breakfast yet. So just watch your own thing because while like I obviously love social media, I also know the boundaries that you have to work in it as a business and as an agent and not getting obsessed in the highway environment or the scroll hole and using it to accelerate your brand. This is the biggest thing. Agents sometimes come into me and they say, you know, social media doesn't work. It's pathetic, right? The first thing I do is I go in and I have a look at their app time. I'm like, yeah, but you're spending 10 hours on Instagram a week.
as a consumer rather than a creator.
Yeah,
it's interesting. Like I look at it like you've got to be like Neo in the Matrix. You've sort of got to like look at it as the Matrix but jump in and jump out when you need to put something into the Matrix.
Yeah, go and follow all your community hashtags. Go and follow your subo hashtags. And instead of just sitting there commenting on your Mace post, start to follow your hashtags and start to comment and like on your community photos, you know.
Yeah.
That's going to get your name and your brand out seen more.
Well, Immy, it has been fantastic to finally get you on the podcast and thank you so much for sharing the awesome tips. We're going to have a lot of show notes for this one. I feel like there's going to be a lot of show notes, but if there was one thing that you'd like people to remember from this, what would it be?
I think the most important thing from today is nothing happens instantly. Greatness is not instant. And on social media, I really want you to know it's not about being liked. It's about being seen. And I can promise you this, if you spend time building great connections, working on building a great USP, a unique selling point within your brand, and being human first before an agent, I promise you'll create better connections. I promise you, you will start to win appraisals online and you will resonate a brand that people actually want to connect with.
Great advice, Emmy Callister. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Elevate with thanks to connectnow.com.au. Don't forget to download your written action guide from this podcast containing extra tips, links and shortcuts. Visit eliteagentelevate.com.